Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning.
How are you?
Same as ever.
Good. That's good then. Let's start. Plenty to get through as usual, KB. Let's start with Leeds United. Not vast amounts going on off the pitch at the moment, but a pretty good performance against Aston Villa. And QPR this weekend up against one of Leeds United old boys, Matt Smith.
Yes, well, there's a chance to get back on track, isn't it? QPR are playing com si com sa at the moment, so there could be 3 points here, which would greatly improve our place for the moment. I think we're 10th, aren't we? 8th, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8. But win striking distance. We keep coasting on, keep tightening our defence, and getting injuries back. And fighting with confidence, just keep climbing. Then you say there's not much going on off the field, well, that isn't necessarily so. What it means is there's not a lot going off the field that we know about.
Yeah.
And for example, on the point you raise is how much will Leeds spend? Well, we don't know, do we? And this thing about Danny Rose getting a cut, if he goes to Man United, well, again, Man United have been a bit silly, haven't it? Because by announcing or making it known that they're going to pay $50 million, or widely Daniel Levy will say, instead they'll pay $50 million, that's our lower offer. I wonder how much more we can squeeze it up. And I wonder how much more we get on in add-ons. Like $50 million now, but next when he gets 10 games of England, and why if he does this, and see if we qualify for the Champions League, and so forth. So it's a bit like Brexit, really, which we'll talk about it in a minute. It should have just shown your hand beforehand. So that'll be interesting. And of course, as Leeds on the salon, see the question of how much Leeds is going to get as a bonus, surprise bonus, rather than something we budgeted for.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting January transfer window. There's no doubt about that. Elsewhere across the region, well, some really interesting news and fantastic news for Tour de Yorkshire and for Yorkshire itself. The routes were announced for next year, KB. It's 4 days, of course, next year, so rather than three. And the women's race has been increased as well. And it's finishing in Leeds on that final day, which is spectacular. We've not seen it going into Leeds since, the Grand Départ for the Tour de France in 2014. So a great, great thing for the region.
It is indeed. And the route has been cleverly chosen to maximise exposure to the various parts of Yorkshire. Otherwise, it wouldn't be exposed to. And so that means we're going to have, hopefully, a lot of visitors who will increase Yorkshire's balance of payments. And who knows, all the Chinese and Japanese and other overseas coach tours going up from London to Edinburgh will be coming up the M1. Maybe they can be ready to drop off and spend a few days in Yorkshire watching the guys pedal their guts out. And again, spending money. Because Yorkshire has a thriving entertainment industry in particularly about food and drink, etc. And they all add grist to our mill. I suggest Phil, Rhodes the Foundry, puts a diversion sign up and directs all the route round past the foundry so you want to pick up a few extra business.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting start to the summer having the Tour of Yorkshire over 4 days. Let's move on to.
We'll be covering the whole thing online around the world.
Well, exactly, exactly. And that's the great thing about the Tour de Yorkshire, isn't it? It's a fantastic advert right away around the world for Yorkshire.
Yes, and our website will do just that.
Exactly, exactly right, KB. Moving on to Brexit, it's been an interesting few days. Boris Johnson urging the EU to move Brexit talks forward so the divisions over the Irish border can be thrashed out. And David Davis getting himself into a little bit of trouble yesterday, saying there's none of the plans that he'd sort of expected to happen have started to actually happen. So you wonder if the talks are stalling, is this just part of the negotiations?
No, it's all part of the negotiations. They're beginning a bit boring, quite frankly. Too much yarboos, not enough kind of discussions. But one thing about the kid banging about the Irish border, you can't work out what... You can't work out how to treat the Irish border until the trade deal's been done. Because, for example, we agree free trade, then we don't need a border. Because there's customs union, and so the money just... these goods just flowed through. There are no taxes to collect, and off they go and get on with ferries and go to England. If, on the other hand, in their wisdom, that's in short supply in your Brussels, they decided what I'm saying, just say 10% tariffs. And that means you've got to work out a system to get the 10% tariff on which goods, because you're not on every good, and that's when you start having complications. But on the other hand, the Irish, who are a bright race, instead of sitting on their bum saying this isn't acceptable, that isn't acceptable, a bit like Juncker, Tusk, they should come up with their solutions, what they think should happen, and how they think it should be resolved. But let's face it, the UK have a great deal of good feelings, positive feelings towards the Republic. At the same time, it's got to be handled. And if you want to hand it away, it's not so bloody complicated, you get bogged down with civil servants. Because then they enjoy pushing paper about and finding awkward reasons why they can't, because they all can't do, not can do. So it's on the EEC, EU, whatever they're called, to come up with their solution to their problem. And their problem is how they're going to treat two nations, one of whom's in the EU, one isn't. So it has to be a bit more candor, not candor. I think I'm sick and tired of everybody else's, of the Europeans, coming to have ideas of their own, but saying, oh, this isn't acceptable, that isn't acceptable, we'd like 70 million quid, 70 billion quid. I think the answer's got to be, well, bugger off. We are leaving, and we know we're leaving, and we're making plans to leave. But we want to stay in with you on the commercial traded agreements, which work for both sides. Now, let's get on with it. But we must have a contingency plan. So, sorry, you had your chance. You had 3 years. All you've been doing is bugging around, not being diplomats or international solutions at all. Just posturing to your own home audiences, who are now getting... That's remember the advantage to us. The advantage to us is the individual European countries are now getting disturbed and agitated because of the attitude that the EU Commission, that idiot leading negotiators, is doing. If I was a French dairy farmer, I'd be getting very worried indeed. Where am I going to sell my milk, my cheese, and my yogurt to in 2020? If the Frenchmen, our Frenchmen, hadn't sorted it out. And the Italians were saying, well, who's going to buy our prosciutto and our parmesan and our prosecco and our Fiat? And the Germans have already come out, the equivalent of CBI, the Association of German Industrialists, who have said to the government in Berlin, get it sorted. This has got to be done. It's important to us. And the weak German politician in Berlin, he said, we can't do anything. It's down at Brussels. Of course they can do it. They're the shareholders in the group. Let them kick off in the direction of the directors, make them work, make them come up with a solution instead of drawing their tax-free perks, travelling expenses, living expenses, the salary, calculating every day what size their gold-plated inflation-proof pension is going to be. And that's it. We have to get on and plan. Not part of the British system has not been now sitting on their bum saying, well, we don't know what's happening. Well, assume, when I was in business, it was called a what-if plan. I want to do this. I want to do A. But what if I can't do A? What do I have to threaten to do B instead? I was really ready for B. You never caught unawares. You don't reveal you've got a plan, but you keep that to yourself. They're all contingency plans. And that's why, the Labour Party and the Ramonas, or the Remainers, whatever they were called, so they were making capital gains out of all the shouting and bawling, ridiculing the Labour's the government's indecision. But the government were in a difficult position. They probably have very good plans. They're not going to tell the Europeans that, because otherwise they'll sit down and start thinking how to counter those plans in the event of the original demands not going through. And the reason why the USCs are saying we've got to set the money first, because they're terrified of our own budgets. If we pull out, there's nowhere money coming from. But do you know, now this is, everybody will understand this, we have particular interest in businessmen and accountants. Do you know that the state of the finances of the European Union are so dreadful, so disgraceful, that the auditors have never signed off the accounts since they were incorporated, since the EU started? There's so much fiddling and faddling and inefficiency and misspending that no international auditor will sign off the accounts as being true, fair, reasonable. We're not plugging it. We should be plugging it more. How do we know that the money we're giving you is going to the right place and being spent right? Meanwhile, Estonia, for example, probably worrying where their civil servants' wages are going to come from in 2020. There's a lot to do. Let's get on with it. Let's be tough. Thank you, Mr. Juncker, but no, Mr. Juncker. Happy Christmas, Mr. Juncker. Hope you're choking your Christmas pudding. Now, that's food for thought. Meanwhile, hope all the plans going at Ellen Road are getting on, going well for Christmas. Just make sure you don't put the Christmas tree in the harbour, in the centre spot. To everybody, all Leeds United fans, and indeed Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United, Huddersfield, Barnsley, Rotherham, and all the others I've missed out on. Have a great Christmas. Hope your team does well. And don't burn the turkey.
Okay, B, as ever, always a pleasure, and we'll catch up with you around the same time next week.
Lovely, thank you, bye.